Right before I came to this meeting, it seemed like we were going through a lot of trials. To the point a person could wonder what next. And I was facing one particular trial that was so overwhelming to me that I felt just this deep fear and overwhelmed. I had a hard time even focusing on my work because of the fear of what might happen. The day that I was especially dreading came, and that morning I opened my Bible app on my phone, and this is a scripture that it offered me as a daily scripture. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. And I sat there and I thought, wow. And I read it again and I read it again to receive comfort from what the scripture says. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Isn't that comforting to us this evening? The thought of the eternal God being our refuge. Have you ever felt like you needed a refuge? Have you ever been through what I just described to where you feel like you just dread what the future holds, and you don't know what you're going to do? You don't know how bad things are going to be. Have you ever felt like you were in danger and you just somehow needed a place to hide? The eternal God is thy refuge. In Psalms 56 and 3, it says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. People are putting their trust in a lot of things today, aren't they? People are trusting in their bank accounts and their retirement plans, insurance policies. They're trusting in political powers. People are putting their trust in military might, in technology, in what medical doctors can do. People are putting their trust in a lot of things today, but there is one safe place to put our trust, and that is the eternal God is thy refuge. Let's read in Psalms chapter 20 and verse 7. Psalms 20 and 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Do you think that worked for the children of Israel? When they were facing overwhelming odds, when they recognized these people coming against us are superior to us in numbers, in technology, and here we are. What are we going to do? We're going to trust in God. Some can put their trust in chariots and some in horses. Some can call for Egypt. Some can put their trust in their own intelligence, their own fame. But we're going to put our trust in the name of the Lord our God. 2 Samuel chapter 22. and verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The Lord is my rock. I believe David knew something about rocks. Jerusalem is built on hills that are rocky hills. And imagine the outlying area, these rocky terrain. If you were in a sword fight, you want to be on top of the rock, don't you? Can you imagine the advantage you would have over the enemy coming after you with a sword, and you're on top and his head is about sword level as he's trying to get up to you? Well, that's the way the Lord is. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust." Other things are going to let us down in life, aren't they? We can have dreams, hopes, plans, and those things just fall apart. We can have good health and lose good health. But when we make the Lord our rock, we have something solid that can hold us through life. "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed me about." Have you ever felt such a fear that it just made you sick? You just felt a horror? "When the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." And notice what happened in verse 8. "Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of heaven moved and shook, because he was wroth." Now, David said, "The Lord is my deliverer." David could have taken things in his own hands. When Saul was after him, it was so unjust. David had been anointed. And David could have raised a rebellion against Saul. He could have, on two different occasions, taken Saul's life. But what did he say? He said, "The Lord is my deliverer." I think that's a good example for us when our enemies are coming against us. When we're afraid, when we don't know what we're going to do, rather than take matters into our own hands, we will do very well to follow David's example and say, "The Lord is my deliverer." Back to Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." That's the picture I got the other morning, of underneath me being these everlasting arms. Quite a few years ago, I had the opportunity to do some tree work with a professional tree man. And I was having fun. I was in harness. We had chainsaws. I was up in the tree. I'd wanted to do this for a long time. And he was training me how to use the rope and harness. And while I was up there, he said, "I want you to lean back and put your hands back behind you." And so I did that. I put my hands back, and then I went forward and I grabbed the tree. And he said, "I can see you're not trusting your rope. I want you to do it again." So I tried again. I've got my hands back a little bit farther that time, and then I grabbed the tree again. Well, that's easy for us to do in life, isn't it? To be afraid of something that really we can trust. And the thing for us to think about, ask ourselves, if people looked on our lives today, would they say, "I can see that you are not trusting the everlasting arms"? I tell you, this is for me, because I tend to worry. I'm afraid of what might happen. But Lord, help me and help you that we realize that the Lord has everlasting arms under us, and that we don't have to be afraid. We can lean safely into those everlasting arms. The question about those arms is, how worthy are they of our trust? You think they're reliable? You believe you can trust the arm of the Lord? Is it strong enough? How strong is the arm of the Lord? Anybody afraid of the Lord's arms? I believe they are very strong. Psalms 89 and verse 13. Psalm 89 and 13, Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. A horn is a symbol of strength and dominance. Think about animals that have horns. Think about a bull. A horn is a deadly weapon. And they use those weapons in their fighting to gain dominance over their enemies, over all other animals. So in the Old Testament, it was a symbol of strength and dominance. And we also have an interpretation in Daniel about 10 horns being 10 kings, Daniel 7 and 24. So horns are also a symbol of authority. So what is the promise here? It is that our horn will be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. We can have victory. We can overcome. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Hezekiah was king of Judah, ruler over Jerusalem, and he was a good king. Hezekiah ridded the land of idol worship that his father had promoted. And Hezekiah reopened the temple and reestablished the worship of the true God in the land. But meanwhile, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, was on a warpath. He was conquering nation after nation, and word of his conquest came to King Hezekiah. So Hezekiah began fortifying the city. One day some ambassadors came to Jerusalem from Babylon. Babylon was one of the areas under the authority of King Sennacherib. And when these ambassadors came, Hezekiah made a major mistake. He showed them all of his riches. And Isaiah the prophet reproved King Hezekiah for this mistake. He asked them, who are these people that came? And what did you show them? Oh, I showed them all of my treasures. Well, Isaiah told King Hezekiah, the days are coming that all that is in your house is going to be carried into Babylon. How would that make you feel? Would you feel some fear? Would you feel like a sense of impending doom? Do you ever feel this in your life? Am I the only one? Well, the day came that Sennacherib showed up, and his intention was to conquer Jerusalem. And during that time, he used fear. He used intimidation. And he began to appeal to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Find that in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 14. He sent this message, 2 Chronicles 32 and 14. Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed, that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of mine hand? Verse 20, for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz prayed and cried to heaven. And the angel, and the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor, and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with a sword. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, from the hand of all other, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. See what the everlasting arms of the Lord can do for us. And many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem and presents to the king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. Well, Sennacherib went back to his own country, and he was killed in the temple of his god Nisroch. The Assyrian god Nisroch was depicted as an eagle head with very exaggerated muscles. Remember, God is the one that has the everlasting arm. Well, this idol in his temple had such big muscles that while his sons came to kill him, seemed unable to reach out and to help the king of Assyria escape death. Those big muscled arms, but they were made of stone or something, and he couldn't even move to help the Assyrian king. Isaiah 59:1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. The Lord's arms are strong." When it's our time of need, I believe the Lord is able to reach out and help us. I just drew such comfort from the picture of these everlasting arms being under me and what I was having to face. The fire god Molech was the deity of the children of Ammon. Do you remember who the children of Ammon were? They were descendants of one of the daughters of Lot. Lot's daughters did not want all of mankind to die away. They saw the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were concerned. And so the children of Ammon were descendants of incest. I find an interesting connection there, that the descendants of incest worshipped the fire god Molech. Fire gods appeared to have been common to all the Canaanite, Syrian, and Arab tribes who worshipped the destructive element under an outward symbol with the most inhumane rites. According to Jewish tradition, the image of Molech was brass, hollow within, and was situated without Jerusalem. His face was that of a calf, and his hands, picture this, his hands stretched forth like a man who opens his hands to receive something of his neighbor. So they kindled it with fire, and the priest took a baby, and put it into the hands of Molech while it was burning hot, and the babe gave up the ghost. Human sacrifice. Quite a contrast to putting our children in the hands of the everlasting God. I am deeply moved by the types of things that people present to their children. They give children access to entertainments that include every vice: violence, sensuality, hatred, stealing, murder, all of these vices, and allow their children to partake of that. To me, that's like offering them into the hand of Molech. I contrast that with the saints who have worship with their children, who have them memorize verses, who pray with them, that carry a burden for their children's souls, that are willing to fast for unsaved children's salvation. You know what that's like? That's like taking our children and putting them in the hands of an everlasting God. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it comforting that we can take our children and, Lord, here you go. Here is my child. It says everlasting arms. What does that suggest to you? To me, that suggests they're there when I need them. No matter what I have to face in life, no matter how great the need, those everlasting arms are unfailing. Matthew 28 and 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We can get discouraged. We can think things are worse than they've ever been. I have problems in my life that I don't know how to handle. Well, here's the promise. There are everlasting arms, and the promise is they will be there even to the end of the world. It doesn't matter how rough your life is. What kind of problems? If persecutions come in this country, we don't know what's going to happen. But I hope that you take from this evening's message that there are some everlasting arms that are safe, that are secure eternally, and we can rest in them and be secure. Paul referred to Jesus Christ as the same yesterday, today, and forever. Unlike other things that people trust in, strong personalities, cult leaders, bank accounts, insurance, youth, health, all of these things that people are putting their hopes and trust in, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you find comfort in that? Now, we can have people in our lives that we lean on. People that we admire. People that are saints of God. Maybe relatives. And just count on that person so much. But you know, there comes a time that people pass away. That we have to give up our loved ones. But I want to encourage you that even as that happens, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His arms are everlasting. We can rest secure in that. Even though people may disappoint us or people pass away, whatever happens to us in life, there is something solid. I was really, shall I say, fascinated with the story of Saddam Hussein. He was a ruthless tyrant, and Saddam committed atrocities against his own people, his own countrymen that are unfit to describe. He was arrested by the U.S. military, and he was turned over to his own countrymen for trial. In that trial, Saddam Hussein was sentenced to death by hanging, and on his execution day, Saddam stood on the trapdoor with a noose around his neck. And at that time, some in the crowd taunted him. His own countrymen hated him for the atrocities, for their own relatives that died under his ruthless reign of terror. They taunted him, but Saddam was defiant. And he would respond in a defiant way. In his last moment, Saddam prayed the Muslim prayer, saying, I profess that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad. But at that moment, the executioners pulled the trapdoor, and they released it, and a shout rang out, the tyrant has fallen. I thought it so ironic that at the mention, according to this report, at the mention of the name Muhammad, Saddam fell to his death. While he was praying in the name of Allah and mentioning the one that he revered so much, it gave way with him. You see, Muhammad does not have everlasting arms, but Jesus Christ does. That's why we're safe putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're better off trusting in Him and not in ourselves, in our own thinking and life, choosing our own path in life. We're so much better saying, like the song says that we sang tonight, "My heart says Amen to Thy will, Lord." Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and waves beat into the ship, so that now it was full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow." Is this what you do when life gets rough? Fall asleep on the pillow? That's not me. I'm the one worrying. Lord, help me. "He was asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest not thou that we perish?" Do you think Jesus cared? Do you think they were going to perish? Well, even if the ship sank, you know what Jesus had the power to do? Just think of the possibilities. If the ship sank, what could he do? He could have parted the sea so they could still breathe. If the ship sank and they all drowned, you know what Jesus could have done? He could have resurrected them right there. He could have just lifted the ship back up out on top of the sea. The options to Jesus were just on and on and on. The things that he can do. See, we're safe in the everlasting arms of our Lord. "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still." Has the Lord ever done this for you? "And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful?" And I guess that's what the Lord is saying to me. Why are you so fearful? Have you ever had big problems and wondered what's going to happen? Oh no, this is it now. This is really the end of things. And then it just kind of blows over. Why are you so fearful? "How is it that ye have no faith? Lord, increase our faith. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man this is, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You see, this is the one that created the sea. This is the one that created the wind. This is the one that spoke the world into existence. This is the one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who has promised that he's going to be with us to the end of the world, unlike Muhammad. Unlike Molech, unlike the God of Sennacherib, the Lord Jesus will be with us if we will live for Him and be faithful and be obedient, keep our hearts right with God. It's so easy to get immersed in worry and dread what's going to happen, at least for me and maybe for you. But Lord, help us and increase our faith. The song says, "My Heavenly Father is caring for me. My bark He is guiding o'er life's raging sea. I'm glad the Lord's doing it because I sure couldn't do a good job of it. I'd end up on the rock someplace. I'd be saying, Master, carest not that we perish?" But notice this, who's guiding us? He knows how high to let the waves get. and not swamp your boat. He knows the degree of temptation that you can withstand, and the promise is He's not going to allow you to suffer more than you're able. My bark He is guiding o'er life's raging sea. Though storms o'ershadow and billows are wild, they cannot overwhelm me, for I am His child. That ought to comfort us too. When we were young, there were these everlasting arms to hold us. As we go to middle age, as we grow old, those same everlasting arms are there. As we go through the seasons of life, when times are great, when everything looks bright, those everlasting arms are under us. When we are immersed in sorrow, when we have lost our loved ones, when we've suffered financial loss, those everlasting arms are still there. I hope that this has been an encouragement to you. I want to assure you, young men, young people, you can live saved. You can be victorious next year the same time. You can do it if you continue to lean on those everlasting arms. If you don't jump off, see, it's you that has the decision. Do I stay in the everlasting arms of the Lord, or do I jump out into the waves? You can do it. You can be secure. If you will follow the Lord, you'll be faithful to Him. He's not going to let you down. Doesn't matter how high the waves, how strong the temptations, how wicked the world, what all the other young people are doing, it doesn't matter. Those everlasting arms are still there available for you. All you have to do is stay in. Do you believe it? Oh Lord, help our faith. Help us that we will be true to You, that we will look to You. May God bless you.